that there was trouble. With nothing else to do, they decided, well, they had to jump out of the plane. The only problem was is that there was only 3 parachutes for 4 people. And so the pilot stepped forward and said, well, listen, I have a wife and 4 kids. I can't leave them alone. I've got to go. And so he grabs a parachute and he jumps out of the plane. Well, then the computer whiz stepped up and said, listen, I have so much information in my head that the world would just be at a loss if I was to perish. And so I need to make sure I live so I can give him all this information that I have stored up within me. And so he grabbed the pack and he jumped out of the airplane. Well, then the minister stepped up and said, listen to the Boy Scout. He said, listen, young boy, young man, I've lived a long, meaningful life. You're still a young man. So I tell you what, you take the last parachute and you jump out and I'll go down with the plane. The little boy looked at the minister and said, look, mister, don't worry about it. So that brilliant computer whiz took my backpack and jumped out the plane. The point is this. A lot of us are too smart for our own britches. We think sometimes more of ourselves than we ought to. We think that we are life's whiz. But every time we jump out to do right, we end up falling flat on our face. We fail to realize that God has what we really need in order to jump out and to be successful in life, to be able to land on our feet. All we have to do is to be humble and to submit to Him. And today we're going to continue our series talking about leadership. A series we started a few weeks back. If you recall, we built it upon this premises that I believe this, that every one of us is called to be a minister for Christ. And every one of us holds a position of leadership through Christ. You say, why is that, Pastor? It's because leadership has everything to do with influence. And every person in this room, whether you realize or not, has influence over somebody in your life. I love what John Maxwell says. He says, true leadership cannot be awarded, appointed, or assigned. It comes only from influence, and that cannot be mandated. It must be earned. The only thing a title can bring is a little time, either to increase your level of influence with others or to undermine it. And today, I want to continue looking at the passage Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's kind of been our theme that we've been going about to try to understand some leadership principles. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember, if you didn't bring your Bible, say, of course, it'll be up on the screen behind us so you can follow along there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read the whole passage again just to refresh us. Beginning in verse 1, it says, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. He says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. No, my conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes, and He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Verse 6, now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written, and then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over and against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign, so that we might also reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. And we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. We are cursed. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. And when we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this very moment. Can we pray one more time for reading of the word? Father, we love you. God, we believe your word is truth for us. It is a lamp to our feet, it's light to our path. It is a hammer that chisels us and makes us into the men and women of God that you call us to be. Lord, speak to us today, God, as we're learning how to be leaders for you, how to be leaders in this world for you, to be more than just followers, but Lord, lead a generation towards you, Father. God, I pray that you speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you recall, the first 2 weeks in this series, we dove into the idea that the first characteristic that Paul talks about is faithfulness. Right? And faithfulness was a big topic. We said Paul used two images to describe what faithfulness is like, that of a servant and that of a steward. And remember, we said that a servant, from the Greek word huperetes, refers to the under rower on a Greek galley or on a slave ship. That the under rowers were the slaves on the bottom compartment of the ship who were chained to the oars, and their only job was to row. We said the application for us as believers is that we were servants for Christ. We are called to a radical servanthood. That we are called to be slaves of Christ. That we're not called to be the captains of the ship, but we are merely the under rowers. And just as the Greek under rowers were hidden from view and received no recognition for the labor, so we are called to serve in obscurity without the desire for recognition and applause. We are called to be servants for Christ. The second characteristic that we talked about was that of a steward, from the Greek word oikonomos. It means the manager of the household. You see, in ancient culture, the servants didn't own the house. They were simply the managers of the household. And they would manage everything for the master. They would manage the house cleaning of the house. They would manage the servants of the house. And they would manage the finances of the house. They would manage everything in the house for its owner. And as leaders and followers of Christ, we must be faithful stewards of the gospel. That if we get everything else wrong, we must get the gospel right. Amen? What does that mean? That means we must invest in people and we must invest in the church. Now, today I want to talk about the second characteristic that Paul mentions here, and that characteristic is called humility. That God has called us as servant leaders for Christ to be humble in every aspect. Let me read for you again verses 6 and 7. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, 'Do not go beyond what is written.' Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" And Paul's warning to the Corinthians is not to be puffed up against or over one another. He brings up several rhetorical questions intended on showing them that they have nothing to boast about, since everything that they receive comes from God. All the gifts that they are given come from God. And they don't come from any kind of personal merit. You see, as Christian leaders, we should exude humility in every aspect of our lives. Why? Because we're not responsible for the gifts that we have. All the gifts we have, they all come from God anyways. And we didn't do anything on our own part to receive or to merit any of these gifts. And therefore, the gifts that God gives belong to Him. And therefore, He should receive the praise and not us. Amen? But you know, here's the truth about humility. That humility is a quality that is in short supply among many Christian leaders. See, the temptation that leaders face is this, is that we actually start to believe our own press clippings, if we will. We start to believe what people say about us. And the more popular they get, the more better. The more gooder you get. It's not a word. It's not a word either. But the better you become at your craft, if you will, the more you are used in your gifting, right? Because when we receive the gift of God, when we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have those gifts, but they still need to mature, right? We still need to grow in those gifts. But as we continue to grow in those gifts, sometimes it becomes a little easier for us. Sometimes we can get a little puffed up, if you will. See, when someone tells you that you're awesome long enough, you tend to believe it. Eventually, you begin to believe it. Yeah, I am pretty awesome. See, this is why it's imperative for us not to gain our identity from the crowds. We can't gain our identity from what other people say about us. Whether good or bad, we can't gain our identity from that. Why? Because crowds can be fickle, right? They can praise you one moment and they can crucify you the next. So instead, we have to be have a realistic view of who we are. See, humility is the everyday choice to credit God for our blessings and others for our success. Those who place a high value on humility understand their place in light of God and others. That doesn't mean that we are to devalue our own strengths. It simply means that we acknowledge the areas of our weaknesses. Doesn't mean we say, well, I'm a loser at this area. It says, you know, I'm pretty good at this, but this area over here is where I need to work on. See, Rick Warren puts it this way. He says, humility is not denying your strengths. Humility is being honest about your weaknesses. In other words, humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. Why? Because the wisdom of this world says that up is up. But we know this, that the superlative counterculture nature of being a follower of Christ says this, that up is actually down. That God, that the world says this, that strength is strength. But God says that weakness is strength. Right? The world says that the rich and the powerful possess all things. But God says that it's the weak and the vulnerable that possess all things. We live in a counterculture when we are followers of Christ. That the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. I think about that creed that the early church would speak that's found in Philippians chapter 2. Speaking of Jesus, it says this. It says, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I remember the last night of Jesus' life. After he ate a meal with his disciples, Jesus took off his outer garment. He grabbed a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now you have to understand how countercultural this was for the disciples. Right, to the disciples, this was shocking. Right, this messed with their whole entire worldview. Why? Because washing feet was reserved for the lower class people. Washing feet was reserved for those on the lower end. And great leaders never washed their feet. People washed the great leaders' feet. And here is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. He's attempting to wash the disciples' feet. When Jesus got to Peter, Peter said, no, Lord, don't do that. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, Peter, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, then you can have no part of me. In other words, Jesus was teaching Peter that humility is an essential part of being a follower of Christ. It's an essential part of Christian leadership. If believers are not willing to humble themselves and get themselves out of the way, then they can have no part in Christ. See, the reward of humility is that those who humble themselves will be exalted. Right? It's not the leader who exalts himself that demands his own way that is exalted. It is the leader who humbles himself, meek and lowly, and washes the feet of humanity. So understand this, that if you're going to fulfill your responsibilities as a follower of Christ, and if you're going to lead people into a relationship with Christ, which is what we're all called to do, right? Which is what we're all called to be. If we are going to do that, then Christ, then your life must exude humility. See, but here's the most amazing thing, that when you grab a hold of this characteristic in your life, when you grab a hold of humility in your life, when your life becomes about being humble, it begins to change who you are. And all of a sudden, you become confident in your own skin. You become comfortable in your own skin. You're comfortable about who you are. And all of a sudden, you don't feel like you need to draw attention to yourself. See, when you're humble, your focus is not about showing off your own strengths. Why? Because you're comfortable and content to let your work show for itself. Let your work speak for itself. See, when you're humble, you begin to self-evaluate your life. When you're humble, you are open to criticism coming in your life. See, when you're humble, you're not worried so much about what everyone says. When you're humble, you acknowledge your own weaknesses. When you're humble, you accept constructive criticism. Why? Because you want to learn and you want to grow and you want to change. But here's the cool thing. Here's my favorite part about humility. Here's my favorite part about being a leader, about being a humble leader is this, is you begin to revel in the accomplishments and the potential of others. See, with humility comes a willingness to celebrate the achievements of other people, knowing that this, that their success is no threat to your own success. Man, as your pastor, let me tell you, I get so excited when I hear leaders doing great things. When I hear people in our church just excelling, I get so excited when Kathleen comes in and she shares, "Oh, we're doing this, children's church, and this happened. These things are great." I was so excited. My wife came home last night and was talking to me about the women's luau and all the great things there, and all the women showed up. And I said, "Man, that's so awesome! It's so awesome to see leaders being used and being able to grow." He allows and enables and empowers others to shine. See, humble leaders not only enjoy watching other people have success, humble leaders want to be able to shine that spotlight on other people. So, look what they're doing. Isn't that awesome? And that's so amazing what this group over here is doing. What's happening over here? I'm so thankful. A couple weeks ago, we put out on just our weekly email, we put out all the stuff, what's happening with the prison ministry. And let me tell you, I got so much good response about that. How many guys have read that? The email? Man, it was so cool, wasn't it? Just to see God moving and God using people in this church, God, just to speak into the lives of those who are in the prison. It was amazing. I loved it. So cool to be able to recognize the success of those around us. There's an old story from way back in the Roman Empire that sheds light on humility. It's a story of a general that when he would come into a town after being victorious in battle, that he would come into town and there'd be a large parade and there would be this long procession throughout the city and all these accolades would be thrown at him. He would be hailed as this mighty warrior, as this mighty leader. But this general saw his own weaknesses. He saw his own limitations, and he didn't want to get too puffed up, so he asked a fellow soldier to help him out. And so as this general would stand on his chariot, and he would move throughout the procession, throughout the city, this fellow soldier would crouch down in the chariot so only the general could see and hear him. And as the general was being moved throughout the city, and everyone was saying, "Oh, what a magnificent warrior, what a magnificent leader," this fellow soldier would look at him and just whisper, "You're only a man. You're only a man. You're only a man." See, this general understood that he needed to avoid letting all this attention go to his head. He knew by remaining humble that he would be able to grow and improve as a leader and as a warrior. Remember James, the brother of Jesus, he says this. He says, "God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." He says, "The humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And even Jesus himself said this in Luke 14, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." See, here's the truth, that humility looks good on everyone. Doesn't it? Right? Nobody likes the proud and the arrogant. Right? Because you have talent, it doesn't mean you have to become prideful and arrogant in your life. My son, this past Thursday, we were driving down the road, and he was asking me about a certain football player, an NFL football player. He said, "Dad, what do you think about him?" And I was thinking, "Well, you know, he's talented, this and this," and all of a sudden he pips up. He said, "Yeah, Dad, but he's a jerk." And you know what? He's right. This man lacked all kinds of humility. And let me tell you something. Humility is attractive. Humility is also powerful. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 5. He says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. That's so much. There's so much there to unpack, but let me give you the cliff notes really quickly. Peter says this, that through humility, we receive God's favor, and we are protected by the hand of God. That through humility, that humility acts as sort of an antidote for worry. It causes us to trust in God's timing. Humility shows us how to know the love of God. It shows us how to resist the devil. It shows us how to have the right view of sin in our lives. It shows us how to receive eternal glory. It shows us how to remain steadfast. It shows us how to know where our power really lies. You see, humility is the secret sauce to being used mightily by God. You look at every great man, great woman of faith throughout the history, throughout the ages, and all their lives, each and every one of their lives. I dare you to try to find someone who this is not true. Every great man and woman of God throughout history, their lives are always marked by humility. But the opposite is true also, that if you look at every man and woman of God, man and woman of faith, who has fallen, who has succumbed to sin, who has succumbed to temptation, pride is always at the heart of it. Pride is always at the root. Let me finish here. the great basketball coach, John Wooden, coach UCLA, he would tell his players this. He said, talent is God-given, so be humble. Fame is man-given, so be thankful. But conceit is self-given, so be careful. You see, humility is the antidote to the pride that comes from being too puffed up about ourselves, thinking we are better than we actually are. So how do we counter that? By making every day a choice to credit God for our blessings. Every day making a choice to credit others for our success. To remain open to continual growth as a leader and as a follower of Christ. And to give honor to others when they succeed. I think about this, and I say this all the time, and it's so true, that every time we have an issue in life, it always comes back to our lack of humility. Every kind of pride issue, every kind of selfishness. Right? You name a problem, whether it's a marriage or some other relationship, some work problem, it always comes back to a lack of humility on both parties' part. That humility really is the secret sauce to us moving forward in life. Not thinking that we know it all. Now, you don't need to tell me nothing. I've got it all figured out. So we've already made our determination about someone. Well, they offended me one time, so I've decided I'll write them off forever. Well, they didn't do this, and so they're no good. It leads to backbiting and arguing, complaining, and just a miserable, miserable life. All because of lack of humility. God has called us to be humble. He's called us to live a life of humility. He's called us to be men and women of God who are not only followers after Him, but we are leaders leading the people into a relationship with Him. And two of the characteristics that Paul names to us here is faithfulness and humility. Next week we're going to see the final one, but we'll save that for next week. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love You. Lord, I thank You for every person here today. God, I pray, Lord, that this will be a church that strives to be men and women after God that are not only following after You, but God, are the men and women, God, that are leading a people into a strong, firm relationship with You. That we are more than just followers. We are disciples of Christ. And that we lead through faithfulness and we lead through humility. Lord, I pray for anyone in here today who's struggling with issues of humility, who has maybe some pride issues built up in their life, that they would cast their burdens upon You, that they would give those pride issues to You, and then they'd humbly seek forgiveness for those who they have held a grudge to, have held a wedge against. We don't have to live, so we don't have to live in this torment any longer. We want to grow in You. We want to know You more. Lord, I pray Your blessings on every person here. God, let us be the men and women of God You've called us to be. God, let us lead a generation to a powerful new truth in You. Bless everyone here and be with us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Hey, I love you guys so much. Thank you for coming out today. I told you I'd get you out of here early. Woo! Early for me, at least.